You are listening to A True Gospel Perspective from our pastor, the Pastor Charles D. Twyman. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
I have come to believe that holding on to God's hand and holding on to His word are one and the same. For how can you hold on to His hand and let go of His word? We invite your attention to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 13. I would ask that you would pray that God would use me and that I don't get in a rush. I know it's the first Sunday, and I know that many of you can't wait to get to your barbecue pits and offer up burnt sacrifices to God. And I know, it's a holiday weekend, but this is a holy day. And I'm not going to get in a hurry, so if you can't stay, just put your finger up. Walk on out the door, and it's okay. Amen. But this is heavy on my heart. And if I'm the last one standing, I'm going to stay. 1 Chronicles chapter 13. You would do well to read 13, 14, and 15 for the proper context, but for the sake of this message today, I want to begin reading at verse 7. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might and with singing and with harps and with psalteries and with timbrels and with cymbals and with trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Kidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark. And there he died before God. Yeah. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself, to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Our message is entitled, Doing a Right Thing in a Wrong Way. Doing a Right Thing in a Wrong Way. There is a saying that says the end justifies the means. And basically what this means is if the final result is good, then whatever we did to arrive at that end result is also good. Whether by hook or crook, as long as we achieved the goal. Unfortunately, all of our goals are not the same as God's goals. For it seems that we live in a time where people are just consumed with being happy. When God says, be holy. I have found that happiness and holiness are not the same. For God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And he also said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. But people are just consumed with the idea of being happy, and happy usually results by something that happens. And I'm saying, if that's your problem, go to McDonald's and get a happy meal and be happy.
Yeah. All right. Yes, sir.
We have problems in the church, because the church is doing a lot of things that seemingly are right, but in a wrong way. So therefore, the church is out of order. Many pastors are out of order when they're not doing things the way God has said to do. Given any controversial subject, and Christians will often give their opinion. But don't nobody care about your opinion. Your opinion don't amount to a hill of beans if it's not based upon the principles of the Word of God. There's a song we used to sing. It said, God's got a way that you can't get around. You can't get over it. You can't get under it. God's got a way that you can't get around. You must come in at the door. Years ago, before I was saved, I was in this church, and my grandfather was my pastor. And for some reason, they made me a trustee on the trustee board, allowed me to sing in the choir, and I felt like moving my hands one day, and they let me direct the choir. But I was very much a sinner, lost in God's house. And what I did was, I, for all purposes, looked like a Christian, tried to sing like a Christian, act like a Christian while I was in God's house. But when I got out, I did my thing. And I had made up this religion, so to speak, and I thought I had this relationship with God where if I did enough good, it would merit me getting into heaven or be equal with having salvation. If I gave a good offering and gave a substantial offering, that somehow when it came time for my end, that God would just kind of have to let me into the kingdom because I had been a good Christian in the church. Because I sung in the choir, because I was on the trustee board, because I drove the church bus and other things, I felt as though perhaps God would let me in based upon my actions. And my actions were not derived from the Bible, but by other Christians who were doing the same mess I was doing. I seen church folk playing the numbers. I heard church folk cussing. We just didn't do it in the church house. I seen men going with other women that were married. I seen every kind of sin, and I made myself think that I was better than them because I was a good person. But I found out that all of my goodness was as filthy rags before God. I found that I could not bargain my way into the kingdom. That right conduct never replaced righteousness. And without righteousness, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven.
Yes, sir.
I found out that the works didn't mean anything if it wasn't done through the righteousness of God.
Yes, sir.
That you had to be born again.
Yes, sir.
And there was no way you could get around this passage of scripture. God's got a way that you can't get around. You must come in at the door.
Yes, sir.
I was among a church where the pastor was elderly and went to bed early. So the choir decided one day to raise money to buy a piano and to buy some carpet for the pulpit. We would give a cabaret. Macedonia Baptist Church, 5080 Belmont, Hamtramck. Now, what we did was we made up a name called the Fabulaires, and some of y'all are laughing because y'all remember it. And we sold tickets to the cabaret. I remembered, as a matter of fact, we did it annually for a few years. I remember one of my co-workers say, "Man, when your church gonna give another cabaret? Because y'all know how to party." I said, "Man, the church didn't give no cabaret. It was the Fabulaires. But the truth is, I'm the one on the door. The only person wasn't at the cabaret was the pastor." We had ushers bumping. I ain't going to tell you who was in the kitchen cooking Polish sausage and who was making the setups. I ain't going to tell you because they're here. They know who they are. I won't even look at you right now. Amen. But if Jesus Christ had came one of those nights, all of us would have went to hell. Now, I'm preaching this today because I have seen a lot of things lately that disturbed my very soul. I get up early and I'm watching and on TV and on the radio listening to other ministers and other pastors. And it seems to me that preachers are more into telling people that their breakthrough is about to come. Touch three people and tell them your breakthrough is coming and so forth and so on. And I don't get it because ain't nobody preaching about sin. Ain't nobody talking about hell. I don't get it. Seems like the only one to get a breakthrough is the preacher because he need a new Bentley. Or a new airplane. God saved me and so many others. I don't know if Pastor Watson knew what was going on or if he just acted like he didn't know what was going on. But they bought that piano. They bought that carpet. But how can you dedicate something like that to God? The principle was that the end justified the means. We got the piano. We got the carpet. So what we had to do to get it don't mean anything, but it means something to God. Because God's got a way that you can't get around.
Yes, sir.
You can't do anything and everything in the name of the Lord and expect God to bless that mess. Maybe churches are not as flagrant as that now, but there's a lot of problems I'm having with pastors who's preaching conjecture. They're not taking the word for what the word says, and they're throwing things together. That's what conjecture is. It's a conclusion deduced by surmise or by guesswork. The word says what it says. It means what it means. You can't change God's word to fit your occasion. And so we bring it to our text. King David is a man after God's own heart. He is now king of Israel.
Yes, sir.
He's consulted with his captains and his thousands and his hundreds and all of his leaders, and they have decided that the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testimony, the Ark of God would be brought home to David. Now let me just give you some background on the Ark. The book of Exodus, chapter 25, verses 9 through 18, shows that this was a sign to Moses' hand to construct this Ark. It's a wooden box. God tells them what type of wood to make it out of. Amen. It's called Shittim wood. And he says, I want you to build this after the pattern you've seen. For when Moses had ascended up into the mountain, God showed him things that were already in heaven. And he said, these are the patterns of things I want you to have constructed down on earth. There in heaven was a tabernacle. And he said, I want you to build a tabernacle like this. Now, this Ark of the Covenant was simply a wooden box with a lid on it, which became what was called the mercy seat.
Amen.
The dimensions of this box was 45 inches long, 27 inches high, 27 inches wide. It was made of this Shittim wood, and it was coated inside and out with pure gold.
Yes, sir.
A lid was made with cherubims on it, which was the mercy seat where God would dwell. And although it was made by the hands of men, and though it was really just a box covered with gold, it was God's box.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, it was already holy.
Amen.
Not only that, he said, I want to put four gold rings, one at each corner. For this ark is to be borne in a certain way by a certain people.
Yes, sir.
Put these gold rings at the corner of each corner of this box, and I want you to take these poles, also made out of the same wood, overlaid with gold, that will run through the holes, and then I want the men to carry these on their shoulders. That's how I want to transport my ark.
Amen.
God was quite particular at how he wanted to do things.
Yes,
why he wanted to do it, I don't know. All I know is he said, this is the way it must be born.
Amen.
It's God's box. Inside of it was the two tablets that had been newly made since Moses broke the first ones.
Yes, sir.
That contained the Ten Commandments. Also, the rod of Aaron that budded. Also, some manna that came down from heaven was in the covenant box.
Yes, sir.
When Israel went to war, they bore this ark. This ark must be carried by members of the Levite family.
Yes, sir.
This ark must be borne by the family of Kohath. And the Kohathites are the only ones to bear this, but they cannot touch it.
Yeah.
Only the priests, and then only the high priest, could touch it.
Right.
It says in the book of Numbers, chapter 4, that they can bear it but never touch this holy thing of God. If they touch it, they will die. That's God's word. God's got a way you can't get around. And I don't know why it is that we think that over a period of time, God don't care the same thing about things, and times change. We get modern, but God's word never changes. I heard Jesus say, heaven and earth may pass away, but the word of God never changes. Whatever God said yesterday, he means it for today and for tomorrow. It's the church that keeps watering down the word. It's these pulpiteers who keep saying, that's all right. One of the things that when I was lost on my way to hell but still in the church, I never wanted to or agree with you that I sinned when I smoked my weed, when I drank my liquor, when I chased other women. I just told you I had a weakness. Never would admit that I sinned, but me and God had this agreement. That was a bunch of junk. God does not agree with your sin, with your number playing.
Amen. Come on, sir.
With your casino hopping.
Sir.
With your drinking.
Yes, sir.
With all your other sinful activity that I dare not mention because it would take all day long.
Yes, sir.
Can I take my time this morning? I need to preach this.
Preach.
David desired to have the ark come to him. He no doubt knew that Abinadab was indeed a Levite, therefore his sons were Levites as well, but they were not priests. And they decided that the old way of carrying the ark was outdated. Now they probably got this idea that when the Ark of the Covenant was stolen by the Philistines, the enemies of Israel, they brought it back from Israel by putting it on a cart pulled by a milk cow and let the cow go anywhere it wanted to. Because as long as they had the Ark, they thought they had Israel's God. And the ark being just a box made with man overlaid with gold, the box showed out because all of the Philistines got hemorrhoids. Seemed like God said, that's for your behind. Read, it's in the book, read it. It's in the book. They were glad to get rid of the ark. It had been at the house of Abinadab for 20 years. And David said, let us fetch it. But instead of carrying it the way God said to carry it, he said, let's put it also on a brand new cart. After all, these are modern times. God knows that's a long way to carry something on your shoulders. These are modern times. We got an ox cart, a brand new one. Let the ox pull the thing. And they began to sing and pray the Lord, hallelujah. Here come the ox, here come the ox, here come the ox. Oh, they having a jam session. Oh, I mean, they just having a good time. Oh, here come the ox, here come the ox. Now they get to the threshing floor and the ox stumbles and it shakes the cart. And it looks like the ark would fall, and Uzzah, the son of Abinadab,
yes,
steadied the ark from falling. He has good intentions.
All right.
It seemed like the right thing to do.
Uh-huh.
But Uzzah, you're doing the right thing in a wrong way.
Yes, sir.
God has already prescribed how this thing should be done. And just to show them that God wasn't playing, Uzzah dies. We know very little about him. We don't know if he left a widow, how many children he had, or anything. All we know, he died. He might have been a wonderful person, a great father, a magnificent husband, but he died. We don't know if he paid his tithes and offerings. He might have sang real good, but he died. He might have been a pillar of the community. Young folk looked up at him, said, I want to be just like Uzzah when I grow up. But Uzzah died. Because he did what was the right thing in his own eyes in a wrong way. God's got a way that you can't get around. So hence all the mess we do now. Our churches are cesspools of iniquity because we do anything and everything we want to do. We copycat what other pastors are doing. I don't even know how this thing started. Touch three people and say something. Turn to your neighbor and do something. It just happened in the last 10, 15 years. We didn't do that mess. Playing a hokey pokey in church. And I mean, ain't nothing really wrong with it. I'm not faulting that. But you might not even like your neighbor. I ain't making you turn to her. You and your wife can argue all the way to church. You ain't got to say nothing to her. I didn't bring you here to play games with you. This ain't no interactive message. I want you to get it. If the people next to you don't get it or not, you make sure you get it. You see, the problem is we got a whole lot of others in the church right now who do things the way they want to do instead of the way God wants them to do. This church ain't full.
All right.
But that's by design. I know how to fill a church. Let me tell you, all I got to do, this is the remedy to fill the church. Put me some sissies in my choir. Let a homosexual direct it. Maybe put one on the organ because y'all know y'all like this way they do they, what they do. My wife told me don't do that too good. Put me some women sitting up here in the pulpit so you can get up there and say, "You go, girl," every now and then. You know y'all like that. It ain't in the book. That's why it don't happen here. Don't never preach more than 20 minutes. Don't never tell people about their sins or that they're going to hell. Preach those sermons where it says God is good all the time so you can respond all the time God is good. Never go past 1 o'clock, which is right now. And the church would be packed with a whole bunch of fools going to hell. I think it's a good thing when churches give out food, buy shoes, buy bicycles at Christmas. But I think it's a shame that all we're doing is have a whole bunch of shoe-wearing, bicycle-riding fat people going to hell because ain't nobody told them nothing about Jesus. Trying to be popular.
No.
I don't care what Reverend down the road does. I must give an account to God. But Reverend, these are modern times. And a lot of the men are no good, so the women, God is calling women to preach. No, he ain't. That's a lie. How can you get past the scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where it says, "I suffer not a woman to teach or usurp authority over the man." A lot of y'all ain't even read that. And then he references what he said by the beginning of time, because God made man first. It doesn't say that men are smarter than women. We know that ain't true. Come on, women, say amen to me. Y'all know I'm right. I gave it to you right there and you went to sleep. It's not because men are stronger. It's because God said it. I hold man responsible. Women are not responsible for the souls of men, but men are responsible for the souls of women, men, children, and everybody else. God has a way you can't get around. You ain't even got to like it, and I don't care. But I mean this. My mama, my wife, my daughters, my granddaughter, they ain't preaching in here. Ain't no woman getting up in here and preaching if I have anything to say about it. Now, I'm saying this because the pastor who's coming next week, his wife and his daughter preach, but they ain't going to be preaching here.
Amen.
I plan on being cordial, hospitable. I am. I'm not going to fight it because I'm not the one that invited them. The committee did. I just approved it because they put me in a bad situation where he told me he turned down another engagement to come. See how the devil works. Now, I'm not mad at any woman, pastor, or any. God knows I'm not trying to stop women from preaching because there's a whole lot of men I want to stop from preaching. who I know God ain't called. But you say, if a person gets saved, it's a right thing. Who cares if the woman pastor or preaches? As long as the end result is that they get saved. But are they getting saved? God don't need that woman to get them saved. But it's wrong because the Bible says it's wrong. You cannot do a right thing in a wrong way and expect God to accept it. Here's what I'm talking about. This is what you call situational ethics. We're very moral. We're very ethical. We stand on the word of God till it comes to our own situation. We as Christians are against abortion until my teenage daughter get pregnant. Then it's a different situation. After all, she's been accepted to a college and this would hinder her, blah, blah, blah. Do you not know that you are not to kill that baby? That baby might be a blessing to you in your old age and be the only one that'll bring you a cold glass of water.
That's right.
I know that God hates divorce. I know what the Bible says about divorce. But see, you don't know the man I married. I don't need to know the man you married. Jesus said if you divorce him for fornication, you can get divorced, but you cannot remarry. That's in the book. I didn't make it up. It's God's way. And I didn't mess a whole lot of people up now. Read Matthew 5:31. Read Matthew 19:8-9. Read Mark 10:11-12. Read Luke 16:18. Read Malachi 2:4-16, where it says, for the Lord, the God of Israel, said that he hateth putting away. If God once hated it, he still hates it. I don't care about your situation. Shouldn't marry the fool in the first place. And don't you start sleeping with somebody else's husband or wife neither. Sin is sin. Preach, Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Good thing we took the offering already. Because wasn't nothing be coming this way today.
Yes, sir.
God loves women as well as he loves men. And there is an equality of essence, but a distinction of role. Men and women are equal in Christ, in essence. But subordination to the head of her is first man. Simply means God holds me responsible for my wife and children. My wife is not responsible for me. And I know, but Reverend, we may have a woman president soon. And we already have a woman governor. And you know, there are women mayors and so on. I don't care what's in the political world. I'm talking about what's in the church and in the family of the Christian home. It may be tight, but it's still right. Women are not supposed to preach, especially to men. I asked a pastor not too long ago. I said, Reverend, how can you get past 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 14? That the woman should learn in quietness and you're not to... I said, you got women preachers in your church. He says, I know, he says, but you see, when they get up to preach, they preach under my authority. I said, Negro, you ain't got no authority. Whatever God has given you, you can't sublet to another. If God didn't call him, you can't call nobody. And every woman and every man who say they've been called by God is not always telling the truth. I have a problem with pastors who've been divorced. A pastor who is homosexual. A pastor who's a pedophile. I have a problem with lying pastors, gambling pastors, materialistic pastors. I have a problem with that mess. And people are flocking to their churches. What can your pastor tell me? He's been divorced. What can he tell somebody who's having problems with their marriage? Stay in there. Hang on in there. My case was different, you understand. Situational ethics. His situation changed his ethics, but it didn't change the word of God. And here's the thing, you ain't got to like none of this. And guess what? Me and God don't care. Because God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. I know you took a class one time and they taught you this and that I was in error. I have been saved for 29 and a half years, and for all of those years I have been a student of the word of God. I think I know a little more than you about the word of God, because not only do I preach it, I live what I preach, and I preach what I live. Don't believe it? Follow me around. See what I'm made out of. I ain't trying to be popular. Because God has given me power to tell the truth. I don't have to look over my shoulder. God's got my back. You ain't got to love me. I ain't pastoring but 37 folk anyhow. I know who my 37 is. Uzzah thought he was doing a right thing. But it wasn't the way God said to do it. And he died. Now, to me, it would have been right for David to die, because David should have known better. Now the Bible says David is afraid of God. Should have been afraid of God before it happened. Now, if you notice the text, it does not say that they took the ox cart and drove over to Obed-Edom's house. It says they carried it. So that tells me they knew something. They carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And then the blessings of God just poured out on that family. Lord have mercy, for 3 months. All the crops came in on time. The kids started getting A's in school. Mom and daddy ain't arguing with one another. Just having a good time, because they were being blessed by the presence of an almighty God. David hears the word. Obed-Edom, they over there singing songs, they being blessed, hallelujah, praise the Lord. David said, we got to go get the ark. So obviously David got to the word, because it was the responsibility of every king to read the word of God every day, to read all of the word of God. So he gets all the word of God. And you'll find that when you read the 15th chapter of 1 Chronicles that David does it right this time. He says in the 15th chapter, verse 15, and the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded, according to the word of God. They got it right. They got it right. So you come to church. So you worship. But how do you come to church? Some of you have become what I call casual Christians. And casual Christians do not understand you are to reverence God. Like the ark that was built by man's hands. This also was built by man's hand, but this building has been dedicated to God. You don't come in here any kind of way. Amen. It's God's house.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. It ain't your house. It's got to be a pretty house, a clean house. It's God's house. But why are you so casual with God? I know. You did not dress for success according to God's word. You dressed to be comfortable. So you came in here with what you had. It wasn't your best. Why would you come to God's house without your best on? After all, when you used to go to the cabaret, you dressed up. Why you want to come in here with pants on? Why don't you men knot up with a tie and a shirt? If you ain't got a suit, a shirt, and a tie don't cost much. Why are you so casual with God? Come in here with your flip-flops on. Clothes too tight. Dress too short. I don't have any rules or regulations posted on the wall, because without your glasses, you can't see nothing no way. And most of your glasses are down the hall. You need your glasses. But there ought to be something on the inside, because change don't happen on the outside. It happens on the inside. How do you come into God's house? How do you come before his presence? You sanctify yourself before the Lord. First thing you do is wash up. Hello. Get some mouthwash, baby. Before you start saying, hello, pastor. Come in God's house with your cigarettes in your purse, your easy riders in your pocket. Some of you even brought your weed in here. We found a half pint of liquor back in one of the pews one time. Somebody was communion. Bringing up communion. Isn't it funny how some things have not changed? We still basically all agree that communion is with the wine that represents the blood and the unleavened bread which represents the body of Christ.
Yes, sir.
We may change the time we do it, but the elements stay the same.
Amen.
I'm surprised that we haven't went from the wafer to a potato chip and gone from the communion wine to Pepsi Cola. I went to cookies and milk. Come on, let's have cookies and milk Sunday. With all the stuff that's going on, I'm surprised that people ain't passing out popcorn and peanuts in the back of the church, because the church has become a circus. And all these pastors are doing just performing. You didn't come to no performance today.
Amen.
And I sure didn't come to make you comfortable.
That's right.
I know some pastors ain't nothing but a high fiber vitamin. They want to make you feel good. I'm castor oil. I come to make you well. And you ain't got to like me. I don't care. And I'm not trying to get no more members in here. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to get rid of a few. I'm hoping this sermon might do it. It's hard to be right. And you can't do it by yourself. That's why you have to be born again. You must come in at the door. All of your righteousness is filthy rag. You must be born again. You have to have the help of the Holy Spirit to give you the strength and the comfort to do that which is right before God.
I know you're right. Thank you, Jesus. Preach.
We come to the place that we look for a performance. We want somebody to make us shout and feel good. Just knowing Jesus is enough to make you shout already. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I ain't got to go to hell. I feel like shouting right now. I was on my way to hell in the church. God saved me.
Yeah.
And you know what? The miraculous thing, right along with saving me, saved a whole lot of you who would have been on the hell if God had not saved me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So David gets it right now. David wasn't taking no chance. If you read this and you read the other account of it over in Samuel, you'll find out that he didn't go but a few paces before he killed the ox, tore up the cart, burned it, set off and had a barbecue toward the Lord. Hey, man. See, I ain't taking no chances this time. Nobody died. No more Uzzahs. If God would kill all the Uzzahs in the Macedonia Baptist Church, I wouldn't have much folk to preach to. Because I'm about sick and tired of you telling me what your opinion is about this and that. God don't care about your opinion. God's got a way. You can't get around it. It's his word. You can't get around the word of God. You can't make up something like the preacher said, they preach under my authority. What authority do you have? Maybe some things that we haven't got right yet, but we're working on it. Because come hell or high water, I'm going to stand my ground. If I'm the last one standing, I'm willing to stand. I've seen preachers give in for the crowd because they wanted the crowd to come. And so they relax some of God's rules. And they allow some things to happen because they got the money and built the buildings and got the bodies. So the buildings and the bodies and the bucks is all they wanted. But when I see Jesus, I got to give an account of what I told you and what I preached to you. So I have to say what I say. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just sick of the church and how it appears to so many people who don't care if the pastor's divorced, who don't care if he's materialistic, don't care if he's been arrested for pedophilia. They don't care. Just long as they make me feel good about myself, telling me my breakthrough is coming. Well, his hasn't already came. Talking about God got a blessing plan. He get the blessing, you get a plan. That's it. That's there is no substitution for the word of God.
None.
What seems right is wrong if it's not according to the word of God. This ain't none of them idols, brother. This your thing. It ain't your thing. You ain't got a thing. It's God's thing.
Yes, sir.
You can't do what you want to do.
Amen.
God does care who you sock it to.
Yes, sir.
I took some of y'all down memory lane now. Amen. When I take an account that others have perished and died because he touched the ark. And that place is now called Perez Uzzah, which means it means that this is the fall of Uzzah.
Yes, sir.
Or this is what happened to Uzzah. Or this is the breach of Uzzah.
Yes.
When I think about how he touched that which was holy.
Yes, sir.
And God said, you can't do that.
Yes.
Because his word said you can't. And I see how many unholy things are being done in the church.
Yes, sir.
I'm still glad that the Bible said that one day Jesus was walking around.
Yes,
and a woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years could not touch the ark, but she could touch the hem of his garment.
Yes,
I'm glad that Jesus made himself available.
Yes,
that I don't have to touch an ark, but I can touch Jesus. But I'm not so happy because she touched him, but I'm happy because he touches me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm happy because he touched me one day and saved my soul.
Yeah.
He made me whole and gave me a right to the tree of life.
Yeah.
I'm glad today that he touched me and changed my life.
Yeah.
Some thought it was wrong for the Son of God to be carried to a cross. Have nailed it in hand. It looked like a wrong thing, but in God's eyes, there was a right thing. He was doing a right thing in a right way. He died for your sin and mine. It seemed so wrong that he was lifted high and had to look down low, but it was a right thing. When he died for me. Yes, he did. He died on the cross when I was lost. He saved my soul. Yes, he did. The blood that flowed from his wounds was just enough to save my wretched soul. He died for me. They took him down, put him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all Friday, all day Saturday, but early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave. You ask me why? I'll tell you why. Because God's got a way that you can't get around. God got a way that you can't go under. God got a way that you can't go over. You must, I said you must, come in at the door. The door of the church is open. Come on in the door now. The door is open. Please stand to your feet. The arms of Jesus are stretched open wide. You must come in at the door.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we hope that it was a blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.